The Word of God is living. It is powerful, infallible, indestructible, incorruptible, and it will work mightily in me.
And now, your host, Pastor Jerry Maya Williams, from the service Already in Progress.
He said, you should take up serpents. That's a sign to follow believers. He said, if you drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm you. Then he promised, you shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. This is a manifestation of healing, but it's spiritual. Is that right? Then the fifth manifestation is the prayer of faith. Is the prayer of faith. Now, before I get into that, let me say something about New Testament believers. Nowhere in the New Testament does it instruct us to pray for the sick other than James chapter 5. And even in that case, and I'll break it down for you, it was the elders of the church praying over the sick, anointing the sick with oil. The only exception. The Bible doesn't teach us to pray for the sick. It teaches us to heal the sick. It teaches us to lay hands on the sick. It teaches us to speak the word. Now, the prayer of faith is also a manifestation of healing. In James chapter 5, verse 14, the question is asked, is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the Lord shall save him and raise him up. And if he's committed sins, plural, they shall be forgiven of him. There's a lot of teaching packed in those few verses right there, huh? First of all, God says, is there any sick among you? Then you have the responsibility to call for the elders of the church. You know what we do? Now, we don't need to go to James 5. You believe what I'm saying? I need to show it to you. It says, is there any sick among you? Let them call for the elders of the church. It didn't say call 911. This is call for the elders of the church. I mean, if you're in so much distress that you can't make a call and somebody else got to summons EMS, that's one thing. But when you know you're sick and the enemy has brought something upon you, you don't have to suffer alone. There's power in the church. And when the Lord says, and he's sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. Why? The elders represents the body. Obviously, the whole church don't need to come to your bedroom. He says, call for the elders of the church. Why? They represent the church, the authority of the church. And let them pray over you. Let them pray over you, anointing you with oil. In the name of the Lord. Now, there are no healing properties in the oil. The oil does not heal you, but the oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit who enables you. Jesus said, but you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And the oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. He says, anointing them with oil, and the Lord shall raise him up. In other words, raise him up out of the sick bed. Then the Bible goes on and says, and if he's committed sins. Why would the Bible says that? Why would the Bible says if that sick person has committed sins, they shall be forgiven? Because oftentimes it is sin that we commit that open the door to sickness. And Paul told the Ephesians chapter 4, neither give place to the devil. We give place to the devil when we, not just sin, but he said sins, plural. I am not suggesting because you made a mistake, one mistake, that sickness is going to come upon you. But I am certainly suggesting, based on James chapter 5, that if you have committed sins, in other words, you didn't trip, stumble, or fall, you started practicing sin. He said, if you committed sins, the Lord will forgive you. Because why would he say that? Because it was the sins that was at the root of the sickness. And the same one who died for your sins is the same one who shed his blood for the healing of your body. He's the one who forgives us of all our iniquities, and he heals us of all of our diseases. And oftentimes when we practice sin, we know that we're doing something that's not of God. The Holy Spirit has convicted our hearts, and we have shunned the Holy Spirit. We've ignored him. We have not heeded to his wooings, and we went in that thing with our eyes wide open. Now, all of a sudden, sickness has found us. But God ain't through with you yet. He says, call for the elders of the church. And let them pray over you, anointing you with oil. And the Lord shall raise you up. And if you've committed sins, the Lord shall forgive you. Why? The same one who has the power to forgive sin is the same one who has the power to manifest your healing. Is that right? And that's spiritual. Now let's look at a couple of supernatural manifestations of healing. Supernatural. Turn to Luke chapter 13. I believe I alluded to this last week. Luke chapter 13. Look at verse 10. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman. Everybody say a woman. And let me tell you something. Throughout the Bible, the woman speaks of the church the same way Paul refers to us as the bride of Christ. There are no grooms of Christ, just the bride of Christ. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity. Please notice, this woman had a spirit. This was an evil spirit. This was a demonic spirit. This spirit, this condition was of the devil. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and he said to the woman, woman, you are loose from your infirmity. He was telling the woman something that already was, but she didn't know it. There's nothing God will do they hadn't already done. That's why we're talking about seven manifestations of healing today. We're not talking about God going to do it. No, he's done it. And you're waiting on a manifestation. Woman, you are loose from your infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. I love this. This was a deliverance from an evil spirit. An evil spirit of sickness. And when an evil spirit of sickness comes upon you, you need a miracle. And a miracle would be a manifestation of the gifts of healing, the discerning of spirits that cast that thing out of you. I love this passage because it really pictures not only a woman that was bent over and bound by this demonic spirit. She lived this way for 18 years. But when Jesus saw her, he knew exactly what was going on. And I want you to know that same Jesus knows exactly what's going on in your body. You see, the doctors, physicians, and surgeons, they're practicing medicine, but God has perfected it. And he knows exactly what's going on in your body. And this woman had been this way for, how can this woman have come to the synagogue Saturday after Saturday for 18 years, bowed over like that, and there was no help, no relief for her? But when Jesus saw this woman, he called the woman to him. And he says, woman, I got good news for you. You are loose from your infirmity. When was she loose? She was loose more than 18 years ago when she contracted this thing. Then he laid hands on her. And what did she do? She immediately stood up straight for the first time in 18 years. And I believe this passage here also speaks of the church. I believe that the church of God, and I see it, and those of you that get news feeds, you're on the internet, you see the same things I see. I mean, Christianity has taken a bad name many times. And some of our leaders are not helping the cause at all. Is that right? And so the church oftentimes like a woman that's bent over and can't straighten up. But the woman that's bent over has to come to Jesus. You got to forget about your religion and your tradition. You got to forget about what mom and them said. And you got to come to Jesus and hear the word of the Lord. Come on, somebody. And the word of the Lord will tell you, woman, you are loose. You don't have to be bound by those things. You're loose from those infirmities. And allow the Lord to lay hands on you. And when the Lord touches you, you're going to straighten up. Can't nobody make you live right. I can preach them blue in the face, but I can't make anybody live right. All I can do is proclaim to you the good news. All I can do is deliver the message. And the message is, woman, you are loosed. Now let the Lord touch you and straighten up. This woman needed deliverance from an evil spirit. And that was a supernatural manifestation. Now, if you go over to Matthew chapter 8, let's look at the centurion. That was another miraculous manifestation. Now, what you notice with all these miraculous manifestations of healing is the spoken word. Remember, he sent his word and healed them and deliver them from the destructions. You'll always find a spoken word of faith. In Matthew chapter 8, look at verse 5. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion, in other words, a captain of 100 soldiers, a centurion came to him pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. Who torments us? Who torments anyone? This is not somebody just going through a disease and a disease alone. This is a person that's been infected with disease and in health, and they're bound by the devil. And even a centurion was able to recognize that. And undoubtedly, he was an Italian soldier in the Roman army. So he said, verse 6, he said, Lord, my servant is at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. Everybody hear that? I want you to remember that the next time sickness comes upon you, this is the promise of the Lord. I will come and manifest your healing. I will come and heal him. So the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. But only speak a word. Speak a word. But only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I'm also a man under authority. In other words, he recognized that Jesus had power and authority. He says, I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. Jesus said, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, surely I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. Listen, I'm telling you, there's some folks that's not even in the church. There's some folks that's not even saved. They're going to hear this good news message, and they're going to take that message. Come on. They're going to take it at its word. They're going to take the word as they hear it, and they're going to receive their manifestation. You see, make no mistake about it. You don't have to be saved to get healed. You don't have to be in the church to have healing manifested, because God is a good God, and he reigns on the just and the unjust as well. In fact, he went on to say that many shall come. Many will come from the east and the west, and they will sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But he says the very sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. Why? With weeping and gnashing of teeth. Why? Because they didn't take me at my word. But this heathen, this Gentile, he knows I have power. He knows I have authority. And he recognizes that I don't need to come to his home. Just speak your word. Verse 13. Jesus said to the centurion, go your way. Just go your way. And as you have believed, let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. Please notice why things happen. Please notice why so many great things have happened for our brother in the back there, Stephon. Because Stephon had to come to a point where he had to believe it. And it's not that God doesn't heal anymore. It's not that God isn't a good God. It's not God, it's you. You're the one that have him handcuffed. You're the one that put him in a box. And he said to this heathen, this Gentile, this unbeliever, who recognized that he had power and authority to heal his servant, he says, no, you don't have to come to my house. Just speak the word only. So Jesus said, all right, go your way. And as you believe, so let it be done for you. So things are happening for us oftentimes according to what we believe. We're not talking about what you're fronting. Come on. You can put on a good show, but let me tell you something. When death knocks on your door, come on, that show got to end, and you got to get real with God. What do you believe? Here's what I believe. I believe that you shall live and not die, Psalms 118, verse 17, and declare the works of the Lord. And just like we heard Sister Joyce testify this morning, she believed that Stephon would live and not die, and he will declare the works of the Lord. So the question is, what do you believe? You're the one that's got to take the limit off of him. You're the one who's corralled him. And you know what? The Lord will stay in that box as long as you keep the lid on it. But when you decide to take the lid off, then God will be God in your life. Is that right? He didn't make Adam live right. He ain't going to make you live right. John chapter 4, another miraculous manifestation. John chapter 4. Verse 46, you there, say amen. All right, so Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. I heard a brother say just a few weeks ago here that was facilitating the outreach training, that when he met Jesus, Jesus took his wine and made it water. That was his testimony. He said, yeah, Jesus took, I was a big drinker. So Jesus took my wine and he turned it into water. So when Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine, there was a certain nobleman. In other words, this was a man who served in the king's service in some capacity. There was a nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. And when he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and implored him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. That sounds like some of the prayers we might pray. Oh, Lord, come on down. Oh, Lord, come in the room. And we didn't realize he was there all the time. All along he was there. Then Jesus said to him, now look what he says to this nobleman. Now, undoubtedly, this nobleman is not a Gentile, but a Jew. Now, I want you to notice he will react with this man a little different than he did with the Gentile. He said to the Gentile, I'll come and heal your son. I'll come and heal your servant, brother. He said, no, Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof. Just speak the word. How's it that people outside of the church recognize things about God that people in the church continue to ignore? Then he said to him, unless you people, see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. Some of you are like that too. I just need to see a miracle. And then I believe God can do it for me. No, you cannot put a condition on God. You must believe. And the nobleman said to him, sir, come down before my child dies. And Jesus said to him, go your way. Your son lives. Spoken word. Your son lives. So the man believed the word. He believed what? He believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him, and told him, saying, your son lives. Then he inquired of them the hour when he got better. And they said to him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said to him, your son lives. Those spoken words miraculously heal the nobleman's son. And he himself believed, and his whole household, because he didn't believe from the beginning. Jesus even said, except you people see signs and wonders, you won't believe. But after his son was healed through that spoken word, he believed. Now, please notice something here. This nobleman's son was healed at the seventh hour. And he knew that that's when Jesus had spoken the word at the seventh hour. Now, what did I tell you about seven when I started this message this morning? Seven is the number of perfection. You might be saying, when am I going to receive my manifestation of healing? I've been standing on the word of God. I've been listening to the pastor. I've been doing everything I know to do. But when am I going to receive my manifestation of healing? You will receive your manifestation of healing in the seventh hour. Now, here with the nobleman, the seventh hour was 7 a.m. That's the seventh hour of the day in the Jewish clock. But there's a reason why Jesus did this. When he did this, he is telling us by revelation and implication that you will receive your manifestation in the seventh hour. In other words, in the time that God has perfected for you. There's some things that God's trying to work out of some of you, so he can work some things in you. There's some lessons you must learn. There's some sins you must be forgiven of. And God is not going to take back his promise. He's going to heal you, but he's going to do it in the seventh hour. Your seventh hour may come at a different time than my seventh hour, but it happens in the seventh hour. Now, with all these manifestations, the natural ones, the spiritual ones, the supernatural ones. Natural recuperation, medicine, physicians and surgeons, laying on of hands, the prayer of faith, deliverance from evil spirits, the miraculous through the spoken word. What all these manifestations have in common, they have a common thread through all of them, and that common thread is faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And he who comes to God must believe that he is God, and he is a rewarder. Come on, somebody. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And if you diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God and do that which is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep his statutes, he promised, I will not bring none of these diseases upon you that I brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord. My God, I am the Lord who heals. I am Jehovah Rapha. I'm the healer. I'm not the one who inflicts the sickness. I'm the healer. I'm telling you, there's victory over sickness. I may get sick, but I won't stay sick. Because God is not dead. He is still alive, and he is still working in the lives of those that love him. Glory to God. And there's nothing that God can't do. I don't care what the doctor said. What did God say? What did God say? What did God say? There's people right here within the sound of my voice that the doctor gave them X amount of time to live, and they're still here. Still here praising God. Let God be true and every man be a liar. Don't hold it against your doctor or your surgeon. They're just practicing. But God has perfected it. Give the Lord some praise. Give the Lord some praise.
Join us Sunday at Agape Word Fellowship, where Dr. Jerry Maya Williams is your pastor, proclaiming a life-changing message of the agape love and power that God is. For more information, log on now at www.agapeword.net, 1430 South New Hope Road, Agape Word Fellowship.
I'm Jackie Diaz, inviting you to worship with us on Sundays at 10 a.m. Hear a life-changing message of God's unconditional love and acceptance that will strengthen and bless you. Agape Word Fellowship is located at 1430 South New Hope Road in Raleigh. Children and youth ministries are available. Casual dress is always welcome. Agape Word Fellowship is the home of word power. Hola, soy Jackie Diaz, invitándolos a adorar a nuestro Señor los domingos a las 10 de la mañana. Escucha un mensaje de amor incondicional y aceptación y bendición y fortaleza. Los ministerios de niños y jóvenes están disponibles. Vestido casual es bienvenido. Agape Word Fellowship es la casa del poder de la palabra.